Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
In this employee development and EI-focused discussion, we consider the benefits of a highly emotionally intelligent workforce. Listen to as we chat about a couple of big upcoming World of Work events, both of which I'm excited to attend in person. And those are the ATD conference in May in San Diego and SHRM annual happening in June in Vegas. My awesome returning guest today is Debbie Munno, Managing Director over at Genos North America and star of a new HR Chat mini-series released as Sunday supplements focused on EI and EQ that'll be launching very, very soon, listeners. And by the way, if you enjoyed this episode with Debbie, you can also check out her previous appearance on the HR Chat show. It's episode 466, published back in August 2022. Debbie, it's my pleasure to have you back on the show. I think you are a super awesome person, and it's lovely to have you return to the HR Chat Pod today.
Well, with a welcome like that, Bill, how can't I be excited? Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
So, Debbie, for those who were not fortunate enough to listen to our first conversation on the HR Chat Pod feed, why don't you start by taking a minute or so and reintroducing yourself to our audience?
Absolutely. My name is Debbie Munno. I am one of the managing directors of Genos North America, and we are an emotional intelligence solutions provider. So we do emotional intelligence assessments. We have emotional intelligence development programs. And of course, for those who are interested, we can certify individuals in the Genos emotional intelligence process.
Thanks for tuning in to the HR Chat Podcast. If you're enjoying this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And now, back to the conversation.
The focus of today's interview is going to be on EI, on emotional intelligence, and on empathy. But before we get there, Debbie, you guys are you're going to be involved with a couple of upcoming events. So I just want to give a few minutes to that, if that's okay. So you're going to be, you being Genos North America, are going to be attending the ATD conference in May in sunny San Diego. And you guys are going to be at the SHRM annual conference, the big annual conference in Vegas in June. So you guys are going to be going all over the place. Can you start by telling us a little bit about what you'll be doing at each, what types of folks you want to meet at each conference, and what's the fit between each of the event brands and Genos North America? Why don't you start by talking about ATD and then tell us about SHRM?
Absolutely, Bill. And we are so excited to be participating in both of those rather large conferences. You know, the professionals who attend those conferences sometimes overlap with ATD and SHRM, and often are also slightly different. And these are the exact professionals, Bill, who we're interested in talking to and who we're very grateful who are interested in talking to us about implementing emotional intelligence inside of their organizations. So in sunny San Diego, at the ATD 2023 conference, we will both be exhibiting and presenting. So we hope to be talking with these organizational development, learning and development, corporate training professionals, because these are the individuals who are seeking solutions to really upskill their leadership teams, their staff, and really give their organizations competitive advantages. So ATD will be really exciting because we do get to present and then also exhibit as a chance to talk and share with these professionals what Genos does, how Genos does some things rather uniquely in working with corporations and organizations, and giving these folks an opportunity to experience our assessments. So if you do happen to be at ATD or SHRM, stop by our booth, we'll have you snap a QR code, and you can experience a Genos assessment. Now, at the SHRM conference in Las Vegas in June, these individuals are all very focused on the human resources elements of their organizations. And so while many of them are looking for the same kinds of solutions, how do we upskill our teams? How do we upskill our leaders and help our leaders become more effective? And often training and development, that either sits underneath human resources or side by side human resources. The thing that's also interesting about those SHRM professionals is that they're also acutely interested in hiring. And Genos has a really brilliantly designed selection assessment so that organizations can hire for the skill set of emotional intelligence. And so I suspect that we'll be talking with a lot of professionals at SHRM, not only about development internally, but also about selection on the front end. We're really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And listeners, we will include notes and links about both of those events in the show notes of this episode so you can learn more if there's someone out there who hasn't heard of ATD and SHRM before. I'd be surprised if there were, but who knows? Okay, Debbie, let's switch focus now and start getting into a few issues that you and your team helped to address. Before we get into too much detail, however, let's begin by challenging you to offer in 60 seconds or less, gosh, okay, it's going to be a big challenge, two or three big outcomes that come from having a highly emotionally intelligent workforce. Go.
Two or three. Increased workplace performance. Increased leadership effectiveness. And increased employee engagement.
Wow. Okay. That was definitely in under 60 seconds. Good work, Debbie. Very impressed. Very impressed.
Time? If I have spare time, I could have three more for you.
Sure. Why not? Give us three more, Debbie.
I'll give you three more. Talent attraction, talent growth and development, and talent retention. All of those things revolve around each other, and they all revolve around EI.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So challenge accepted and then doubled. Love it. You were keen to discuss today the paradigm shift when it comes to perceptions of the average or okay performance. Tell us a bit more about why you wanted to discuss that and why it matters.
Oh, it matters so much, Bill. And so thank you for the opportunity and the question. You know, when you look inside of organizations, we have lots of top performers. These are the folks who are really excelling, knocking it out of the park in their particular role. And a couple things happen with these top performers. On the one hand, they can largely get ignored. You know, when organizations say, oh, you know what, Bill's got it. He's covered. He's great. Yeah, just let him do his thing. And so often they don't get a lot of attention. The other thing that often happens with really strong performers is that they can get piled on, where when an organization says, oh, we're struggling over here, or we have a deficit over here because somebody's not meeting the mark, but you know what, Bill can handle it for us. And so what happens is that these folks at this top performance level kind of are in this all or none with no attention, or they end up becoming overwhelmed with work because they're taking on other tasks. What we see with folks who are struggling in their role is that they get a lot of attention. There's a lot of corrective action or development attention. And the folks who get almost completely and inevitably ignored are the folks who are defined as doing okay or fine. And so if you ask this question about organizational performance, you'll get some sort of response like, oh, we've got a chunk of people we're really working on. We've got some folks who are just great. And then everybody else, whew, they're fine. And so the interesting element about this is that organizations devote a lot of time and a lot of effort to raise performance. If we took that same time and effort and focused it on those folks who were defining as fine, and by the way, Bill, when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about them as people, I'm talking about the performance, what they do in their role. Because what we know with folks who fall into that average performance category is most frequently they know what not to do, but they don't have the skill set to know what to do to really elevate their performance. And so focusing some intention on this group in the middle, on average, you can really take a group of people and kick up their workplace performance, elevate their leadership effectiveness, really enhance the way they connect and communicate and collaborate. And they don't have that far to go. They just need some direction. And so we are really very focused on having organizations really kind of adopt this Jim Collins notion of, you know, good is the enemy of great. Fine should be the very first place we look, because in an organization that is the largest population, and that is a population full of potential, and it only needs some time and attention and dedicated assessment and training to really elevate that workplace performance. And so we're really excited about helping HR professionals and L&D and organizational development professionals really kind of shine a light and a lens on redefining average and the acceptance of average performance. Rather than being grateful that it's fine, let's put a little bit of intention and work into really kicking that up and moving that performance far closer to top performance.
Okay, love it. Thank you very much. So I guess, as kind of a follow-up to that in a way, how did factors such as the Great Resignation, quiet quitting, quick quitting, and presenteeism feed into a need to perhaps retain one's average and, of course, their best performing? It'd be nice if you can keep your best performing employees too.
Yeah. Boy, and this all does connect together like Lego blocks, doesn't it? I think over the last 3.5 years, what we have seen is that organizations who were very intentional about staying connected to their teams really have come out to where we are at this point in COVID with more retained talent. You and I, Bill, both know, as do our listeners, because of all the work that we all do together, that attention equals retention. And so organizations who were very intentional about paying attention to their teams, checking in regularly with them, connecting with them both professionally and personally, really following up with them, asking what kind of support that they might need, organizations and leaders who did this with their teams have actually given that attention to those teams, and it is likely that they retained more of their talent than organizations who had or embodied a little bit of out of sight, out of mind mentality, or left folks who in remote work were sort of disconnected. There wasn't that human connection and collaboration that's so easy or so much easier to do when you are in person. And so by taking leaders and lifting their emotional intelligence skills, what you're really doing is lifting their ability to connect and communicate and collaborate with their teams. They knew what not to do, but now we've given them some extra skills on what to do to make those connections deeper. The strongest craving of any human being is appreciation. When employees at any level feel valued and appreciated and heard, we do our best work. We are at our most creative. We are at the height of our engagement and our innovation. And so when you help organizations elevate the demonstration of emotional intelligence at all levels, it automatically elevates the way that the teams around these professionals feel valued and appreciated and heard. So when you have these experiences that we've seen in a continuum with COVID, where there was the Great Resignation and quick quitting and quiet quitting, and now this newest element of resenteeism, which is folks who didn't leave their job but are frustrated that they've stayed, one of the ways to combat all of that is by giving people at all levels the skill set to more strongly connect and communicate and collaborate. And so this not only really drives that connection and that attention and that retention, but it's also driving workplace performance. And in many respects, Bill, elevating the demonstration of emotional intelligence of leaders and their teams is somewhat of an inoculation against quit quitting and quiet quitting and turnover and resenteeism. And so there's never been a better time to really bring on this kind of development, both for the individuals who are gaining this experience and this growth and development, but it has a huge ripple effect into the productivity of each of those divisions and departments and organizations, and ultimately enables an organization to craft a culture in which they have a smoother time in attracting talent, retaining that talent, and engaging that talent, which really at the end of the day, I think is what everybody is after.
I would have to agree there, Debbie. That's for sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that step before trying to keep your people, and that's trying to find your people, trying to source them, trying to attract them, trying to hire them. But specifically, let's talk about hiring for emotional intelligence, shall we? For those still losing employees or need to replace their labor force for different reasons, how can HR help companies account for EI factors in the hiring process? And why should they, Debbie? Why is that important?
Yeah, an ounce of prevention can be worth a pound of cure, right? If organizations are just adding to their selection process, a screening process for the demonstration of emotional intelligence of their candidates, this bill can really have a profound impact. What we know from our work in hiring for EI and in our Genos selection assessment is that candidates who measure higher on our selection assessment also tend to score higher in a lot of really important workplace variables. I'm going to list just a few of them here for you. Individuals who measure higher on this instrument have a stronger workplace performance. They have heightened leadership effectiveness. They sell more productively. And by that, what I mean, and any sales managers who are listening out there, I know that we often measure salespeople, of course, by their productivity, by dollars and cents. And so that is indeed part of it. The other element of that is that they connect more authentically with their prospects, with their clients, and with their customers. And so you have this heightened sales cycle, both in dollars and cents and those relationships. We know that customer service individuals serve their customers and clients more effectively. And to some extent, Bill, all of us are always in that customer service mode. It might not always be directly like we think of in calling a customer service line, but I know that you certainly serve customers. We serve our customers. And anyone in business today is serving someone else, whether that's an internal or an external customer. We know that individuals who demonstrate higher levels of emotional intelligence make stronger teammates, more collaborative teammates. They are more engaged in their work. And this is a big deal, this one I'm about to talk about, but really came to light over the last 3.5 years. And that is that individuals who demonstrate higher levels of emotional intelligence are more resilient. They are more agile. And the pace of business is operating today as it never has before. And we've had all this major disruption over the last 3.5 years working through the pandemic. And so being agile and being resilient and having really strong bounce back has always been important, but they may not have gotten the focus and the attention that it is right now. So from an HR perspective, if you have the opportunity to learn how much of these kinds of skills and competencies is your candidate bringing into the workplace, boy, that's just really powerful. It helps to make a more informed hiring decision when coupled with all of the other elements of the selection process. And people who demonstrate very high levels of emotional intelligence, well, they can actually influence the people around them. So when you bring these kinds of individuals into a work team, by them not even consciously doing anything different other than what they already typically do, they can help the people around them behave in a way that's more emotionally intelligent because of the way they're treating them. So it has this individual element with all of these enhanced workplace variables. But boy, that ripples out. That ripples out into their direct teams, that ripples out into other teams, and certainly that ripples out to the entire organization. And a last element of this, Bill, that I think we certainly need to address is the human being themselves. You know, we're talking about these elements from an ATD kind of training standpoint or an HR standpoint. But if we talk about each of these individuals, and this is why emotional intelligence is just so powerful, because when individuals can learn these skills and can demonstrate emotional intelligence to a higher degree, they have more well-being. They have enhanced well-being. They lead happier, healthier, longer lives. And so while we're talking about this in the pursuit of business, there's also this very human element to emotional intelligence that by developing it, we do have and can impact people having more emotional well-being, which all of us could use. And if we have the ability to hire individuals who are demonstrating stronger and higher emotional intelligence, well, we know that they've got heightened well-being. They can bring the best versions of themselves into the workplace every day and take the best versions of themselves home at the end of the workday every night. It's pretty profound.
Okay. Wow. Thank you very much. Debbie, we are already coming towards the end of this particular interview. Just a couple more questions for you, if I may. Let's challenge you again. In 1 minute or less, Debbie, what are your thoughts on ways to help employees to better relate to each other and collaborate when many work in multi-generational workforces? And by that, I mean up to 5 generations in some workforces. Surely that's impossible. 1 minute, go.
It is definitely not impossible. It is highly possible. And we can do this, Bill, through perspective taking, through the competency of emotional intelligence, of awareness of others. Now, all of them will influence this, but in particular, awareness of others, which when demonstrated productively is empathy. This is really just learning and understanding where someone who has a different vantage point is coming from. And all of these generations working together under one roof, they come from a different place. They view the same thing slightly differently because we all view our workplace contexts and situations through our values, our belief systems, and our experiences. And so you put a lot of different generations looking at the same thing, they might be looking at the same thing, but they're not looking at that thing in the same way with the same perspective. And just giving people the ability to, number one, recognize that there is an alternate perspective. And number two, giving people the skill set to be able to learn and understand what that other perspective is. That goes a long way to knit together these multi-generations in the workforce and help them interact collaboratively, help them connect more effectively, and of course, help them to be more productive with one another and less frustrated with one another.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. It would be remiss of me before we finish this interview not to mention the fact that there's a new pod series out, Debbie, as this episode goes live, it would have already been released. So it's a Sunday supplement. This is something that we do from time to time. We release Sunday supplements, sort of slightly shorter episodes on the main HR chat feed by HR Gazette. And the new pod series is focused on emotional intelligence and empathy and all those wonderful related topics. Can you Can you take a minute and tell our listeners a bit about the focus? So, for example, each of the episodes, I believe, will take its time and look at one of the six emotional competencies for leaders.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this, Bill, and thank you. Yes, we're going to dive into each of the competencies of our model of emotional intelligence and really bring them to life. We're going to talk about what is this competency? What does it look like when it's being demonstrated really to a high degree? Why is it important? Why do we care about it? Not only why is it important at work, but also why is it important to us, you know, at home and in our personal lives? How does it impact us? What do we do with that competency if we're in a leadership role? And then we'll certainly probably have a couple stories or a couple analogies to really, again, bring to life what these competencies are and how they're constantly influencing us day in and day out, and how if becoming aware of them means that we cannot do something more, but something slightly differently for a more productive outcome. Well, it's going to be really exciting to talk about that.
Yeah, please do check those out as well, listeners. There will be links to the supplement and information about those in the show notes as well, as I'm sure. But otherwise, just go to the HR chat feed and you'll be able to find some there. Me and Debbie chatting away for, 6 weeks on Sundays over the spring. There we go. Debbie, before we wrap up, how can our listeners connect with you and learn more about all the cool things happening over at Genus North America?
Oh, thanks, Bill. First place to go is LinkedIn, Debbie Munno, DebbieMunno. Always happy to connect with listeners. You can also go to our website, Genos, and that's Genos, genosnorthamerica.com. Find a wealth of information there. You can email us. You can join an informational webinar if you'd like to learn a bit more, or certainly send an email and we can set up a chat if anyone would like to. But thank you, Bill.
And thank you, Debbie. I always enjoy chatting with you. You are a lovely person to work with. You and Jeff, great people to work with. I do appreciate you both. And that just leads me to say for today, Debbie, you awesome human being. Thank you very much for being my guest on this episode.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
And listeners, as always, until next time, happy working.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.